Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Amen. So last week, as I sat on the back patio of my house doing some work on my sermon, I had been staring at the screen of my computer for some time. I realized that my eyes were tired, and so I forced myself to unglue and look up. As I took my eyes from the glow of the screen, I saw, reaching from one end of my backyard all the way to the other, a magnificent, full, bright rainbow. Albert Einstein is famous for saying, "There are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle." When I looked up and saw that rainbow, right in the midst of sermonizing on doubt and fear, I had a choice: see the miracle and believe or not. Resurrection is a process. I have been claiming this thesis for the last 3 weeks of Easter. Easter is a day, but resurrection is a process. When I was growing up, my mother, Sarah Jane Fletcher, she gave Jesus praise for everything that happened in her daily life. Everything. She got a parking space at the mall. Praise Jesus. She got an appointment with her hairdresser before her hair went totally out of control. Praise Jesus. Her friend is cured from cancer. Praise Jesus. My dad made it home from all the way across the world. Praise Jesus. I am telling you, everything was praise Jesus. And as a child, it drove me nutty. Surely, I thought to myself, Jesus doesn't have anything to do with your parking space or your hair. But my mom, she saw Jesus everywhere. When I saw that rainbow, I had a choice: to see Jesus or to not see Jesus. When I looked up, without even thinking about it, I shouted out, "Praise Jesus!" We either choose to believe or we don't. Here we are, folks, in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the final story before Jesus ascends into heaven, and the gospel story of the life of Jesus literally ends. This story is also the last story in the book of John. Matthew and Mark end on similar notes, but not the same story. But all end with some account of the disciples wrestling with doubt and belief in the continued process of resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, the final chapter, three things happen. The women encounter the risen Christ and go to tell the disciples. They don't believe him. Jesus meets some disciples on the road walking. They don't recognize him. Jesus meets some disciples on the beach, and they are terrified and disbelieving. We either choose to believe or we don't. In both John and Luke, the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples on the beach is set in the same place Jesus first met these disciples, right where he found them fishing. And then he told them to set down their nets and follow him. Now he is gone, and they are right back where they started. In the book of John, they are actually fishing and catching nothing until Jesus comes to meet them, and then he performs a miracle where their nets are so full of fish that they break. And then, like in Luke, they eat, he eats, they eat, and now they get it. Now they see Jesus is right there with them in their everyday life, flesh and bones. In John's account, there's one final act, an account of reconciliation of relationship between Peter and Jesus. It says, when they had finished eating and they knew who Jesus was, Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" A good question, considering Peter's denial of Jesus before the crucifixion. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Then feed my lambs," says Jesus. And he asks again, "Do you love me?" "Yes," says Peter. "Then tend my sheep." And then he asks one last time, "Do you love me?" "Yes," says Peter. "Then feed my sheep." Finally, they believe. Finally, these men cease their doubting and they choose to believe. Resurrection is a process. The process for these men has been long, and Jesus, in his compassion, has been relentless in showing up for them in their fear and their doubt. And so here at the end of the story of Jesus, we have arrived, reconciliation of relationship and resurrection, the disciples finally choosing to believe. They believe now that Jesus will show up for them in their everyday life. They believe that he will show up in the flesh through relationship. They believe that Jesus has equipped them to go out and tend and feed the sheep of the flock with exactly what they have, and that what they have is enough. Resurrection has led them to believe that they are capable, with what they have been given, to continue the work of Jesus in the world. My mother saw Jesus everywhere, in all relationships and in all people. She never worked for pay in a 9-to-5 job, but she did the work of God everywhere she went. One day, as a child, I recall we were at the grocery store, and when we pulled into the parking lot, and yes, she praised Jesus for the spot right up front, the Pepsi Cola truck, you know, the 18-wheeler that delivers the soda to the grocery stores, pulled up right beside us. I remember this as clear as if it was yesterday. My mom jumped out of the car, the driver stepped out of the 18-wheeler, and she ran up to him and she said, "Greg, how is she?" And then the mood changed. And I watched as my sweet mother took this man by the shoulders and he began to cry. I was horrified by this encounter as a teenager. Horrified! But 20 minutes later, my mom got back in the car and sat in silence. I looked at her and I said, "What was that about?" She looked at me and she said, "Oh, honey, he and his wife just lost their baby. I'm so sad for them. He just needed to pray." My mother knew the Pepsi Cola truck driver. My mother knew everyone in our small country town. Maybe she never had a job, but she always had work. Good work. The Lord's work. She saw Jesus everywhere, even in the Pepsi Cola driver. To my mom, they were all just children of God because she chose to see them that way. Resurrection is a process, and believing is a choice for the disciples and for us too. And so while the gospel books have ended, the story continues. It continues in our living. In our choosing to believe that Jesus will show up for us too in our everyday lives, and that what we have been given is enough, and it's what he calls us to offer the world, and that Jesus sends us out to feed and tend. So when I saw that rainbow, I had a choice. When my mom got a hair appointment just in time, or met a bereaved human in the parking lot, she had a choice: believe that Jesus was in that moment or not. I'm curious, when we doubt, which we will, by not believing that Jesus meets us in our everyday life and sends us out into the world, I wonder what we are protecting ourselves from. Disappointment, responsibility, foolishness. If we really believed that Jesus is everywhere and calling us out into the world to feed and tend, how would our lives have to change? And maybe this is the point and the purpose of doubt for us as humans. It keeps us from having to live our lives like we believe. But what does believing offer us? Peace be with you. Every time Jesus encounters the fearful disciples in their doubting, he says, "Peace be with you." Peace is not the comfort and security. This peace is the peace of the presence of God. This peace will not protect us from change. This peace will demand us to change. When we choose to believe that Jesus is everywhere in all things, we have the peace of the presence of God. This does not make us foolish. This peace makes us resilient and courageous. This is the peace that the disciples needed before they could head out to heal and forgive, and likewise it is for us. In the book of Luke, before Jesus ascends, he tells the disciples to wait in the city. He says, "I am sending you that which the Father has promised. You will be clothed in power." Power to heal, to teach, to forgive, power with, to create the kingdom of God. This is what belief offers us, peace and power, but not like the world offers, but like Jesus offers, like the presence of God offers. This belief offers true resurrection, and it's a process, this coming to believe, this resurrection. So please do not fear if you find yourself in a place of disbelief or doubt, because God knows Jesus will meet you there. Just look up from your doubting sometimes. Look up and see what is all around you. And if you see Jesus, ask yourself, do you feel love? Jesus says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I do." "Then tend my flock, because that is where Jesus is." Praise Jesus. Amen.